you haven't already checked it out, NorthIdahoRadio.com online, wherever you are. It's Thursday. I'm Bob Witte. We call this show North Idaho Thursday. I want to thank Sean Smith for joining me yesterday for our Ricky's Top 10. That was a first. If you haven't tried his barbecue, it's called Smokesmith Barbecue. He parks his truck next to the Panhandle Animal Shelter on the Kootenai Cutoff Road. You really ought to give it a shot. He's got pulled pork and brisket every day and a variety of other sandwiches. He's got tri-tip on Thursdays. That's today. Tomorrow is rib day. If you like barbecued ribs, you owe it to yourself to give it a shot. All right, we've got another good show for you today. First up, we'll be chatting with Sam Morton. Sam is a licensed board-certified doctor of physical therapy, a certified strength and conditioning specialist through the National Strength and Conditioning Association, a certified sports performance coach as well. My goodness, we'll be talking about sports concussions in high school athletics, which have started up this last week or so. So very interesting. Glad to have Sam from BGH with us today. Also today, we'll meet another doctor, Dr. Jeff Polson, an experienced veterinarian who has joined the team at VCA North Idaho Animal Hospital. Looking forward to that. Jeff will be joining us by phone. And then in our final segment, we'll welcome back in the folks from Suzuki Strings Academy. Ruth and Marianne will join us, find out what's going on with the Strings Academy. We've got football going on here on these two radio stations tomorrow night, the second week of the season. The Sandpoint Bulldogs doing something they haven't done for a while. They're traveling to Coeur d'Alene to take on the Vikings. Tough time to play the Vikings, of course. The Sandpoint played Post Falls last week. Post Falls is one of the bigger schools in the state, 5A. Coeur d'Alene, this will be their first game tomorrow night, so they've had this last month of practice to prepare for Sandpoint. So it's going to be a tough one. Chris and Jay will be there for all of the play-by-play. Really looking forward to that. And in fact, I mentioned Sam Morton. He will be my guest at halftime during that game. So that'll be coming your way on KSPT 640 for the pregame show. Chris does a great job with the pregame interview. Coach and Knowles and more information than Chris and Jay with the play-by-play at 7. Speaking of 7 o'clock, that's when Bonner's Ferry and Priest River will kick it off at Priest River, and that game will be heard 1450 a.m. KSPT. So another weekend, or another Friday night, of Bulldog and Badger football. Speaking of Friday, if you want to get out and hear some live music, Arthur and Bright Moments Jazz will be playing at Idaho Poor Authority Friday from 6 until 8 p.m. This is the last weekend for Schweitzer and their summer activities. So if you haven't had a chairlift ride yet, the weather's supposed to be absolutely gorgeous all weekend. So get on up to Schweitzer and enjoy that, or mountain biking or what have you. That is happening this weekend. Also, the Sandpoint Film Festival is under the stars this weekend at the Long Shot, which is on Boyer and Highway 2 on the corner there. The festival will take place the 4th, 5th, and 6th, starting at 7:30 each night, and a couple of Eric Darkstad films will be shown amongst that. So you can go to sandpointfilmfestival.com and check that out. We'll check out these couple of words, and then when we come back, we'll have Sam Morton from BGH with us. So look forward to that right after this.
These days, it's more important than ever that we carry on our Idaho traditions of hard work, shared sacrifice, and care for our communities.
Please continue to practice social distancing, wash your hands thoroughly and regularly, wear a protective face covering in public, and always follow the latest safety guidelines.
If we work together, we can rebound responsibly.
Together, we are One Idaho.
Learn more at one.idaho.gov.
Weird summer, am I right? Hey, Sandpointians, are you missing the festival, beer fest, fall fest, the Longbridge Swim Fest? Well, guess what? Sandpoint misses you too. This is why the Greater Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce is hosting the COVID Sucks Summer 2020 event. Yes, it is a fundraiser for the Greater Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce, but also a way for you to get out of the house and support our local shops and restaurants. Shop, eat, drink, and play from September 4th to the 11th and receive stamps from participating chamber member businesses. The more stamps you get, the better the rewards. Get anywhere from 10 to 20 stamps to receive the COVID Sucks logo glass and enter to win the raffle sponsored by Selkirk Association of Realtors for some awesome prizes donated by the very businesses you're supporting. Check out the Sandpoint Shaver Facebook page for all the details and to register. Thank you to our sponsors, Hendrix Architecture, The Reader, Berg McLaughlin & Nelson, Ting, Clearwater Gear, and Kiyoki Media. Plus all of our participating businesses listed on sandpointchamber.org.
Are you from California, Illinois, New York, Georgia, or any of the other 39 states that charge state income tax? Does your state claim you owe them any amount of back taxes? Or have you not filed in years? Is your heart pounding because you know they're wrong or you just don't have the money? Don't fight the state income tax board alone. The Tax Doctor is here to help you. The state is much more aggressive than the IRS in collecting taxes. They have the power to take your home, your car, your driver's and business licenses, even garnish your wages, freeze your bank accounts, and go after your spouse. Solve all your income tax problems permanently and keep more of your hard-earned money. Make this 100% guaranteed risk-free call right now.
800-281-0266. 800-281-0266. 800-281-0266. That's 800-281-0266.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
97.1 FM and 1450 AM, 1400 AM, North Idaho's radio.
All right, we are back, North Idaho, Thursday. I'm Bob Woody along with you. We are joined from BGH. It's our monthly visit with Bonner General Health. Sam Morton is with us. Sam, a licensed board-certified doctor of physical therapy, certified strength and conditioning specialist through the National Strength and Conditioning Association, and a certified sports performance coach through USA Weightlifting since 2009. Sam, that's quite a lot you have on your shingle there.
Thanks. Yeah, it's a little alphabet soup at the end of my title, but yeah, it's a
So with all of that having been said, what exactly do you do on a day-in, day-out basis?
So I'm an orthopedic physical therapist. I work at Bonner General Health, obviously, as we talked about already, but I treat patients for a whole multitude of orthopedic injuries. My specialty lies more obviously in maybe in the sports realm. I was a former strength and conditioning coach at two Division I universities, and then since then I've gotten my physical therapy degree, and so I lean more into treating people post injury from sport or surgery.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So you're from Seattle. You were telling me you played football at Carroll College.
Yep, yep.
Which a lot of Sandpoint Bulldogs have ended up at Carroll College the years. So that must be a great place to have the college experience.
Oh, yeah, it was wonderful. Yeah, I started in 2002 at Carroll and then finished up in 2006. We were fortunate to win four national championships in that time.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was a wonderful experience.
So were you there when the year they were on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
No, that was a couple of years after me. A couple of years after me when they won another championship. Yeah. But, yeah, no, that was pretty neat.
That's great. That's a wonderful experience. You've been on the sidelines of a lot of Sandpoint High School athletic events. And, of course, BGH has had, you know, an athletic trainer on the sidelines for several years. And hopefully can get back to that in the future.
Yeah. So we started our partnership with Sandpoint High School in 2017. We were fortunate to be able to hire an athletic trainer almost immediately. And provided one for a year. We unfortunately had a gap there. We had an athletic trainer left for a year, and then I provided on-field services, which certainly isn't my background, but it along with Dr. Brent Liddle, one of our orthopedic surgeons at Bonner General, we were able to fill in the gap for a year. Mm-hmm. And then last year, we were again fortunate enough to have another athletic trainer provide on-field support for all of our home athletic events, and that was really great. And unfortunately, with the coronavirus, she was furloughed and then unfortunately decided not to return for this season. Gotcha. We found that out too late. So again, we're sort of in a bind, but BGH is still, you know, very much in support of Sandpoint High School Athletics and want to provide as best care for all of their athletes.
Of course, you're a physical therapist like yourself on the sidelines of a soccer game or a football game, you know, you're there to help with the little injuries that happen, your pulled muscles and things like that. But one of the major injuries that are getting so much focus, so to speak, in the last decade or so are athletic concussions.
Yep.
And let's define a concussion. Sure. What exactly is that?
So a concussion is a brain injury, plain and simple. A lot of times it's from impact with another player or the ground. It can also happen from just being without it being actually being hit in the head. It's one of those things that over the past 10 years has obviously become more in the forefront of rehabilitation and sports medicine, just because of the severity that we're seeing at the in the NFL and college sports. And so it's, you know, obviously leaked into high school athletics as well. It's so important with the young athletes that we identify it as quickly as we can and deal with it so that there's not future issues with that.
Yeah, and you were telling me before we came on that it's not, you know, people usually think football concussions because, of course, it's a head-to-head sport. There's a lot of concussions on the soccer field.
Yep.
More so with the female players than the male players. Is there any reason for that?
No, with nothing that we can determine, you know, with, like I said, with a multitude of different research studies and those kind of things, but they do tend to have a higher incidence of concussion in women's soccer. We talked about before, cheerleading tends to be one, especially with the ones where they do a lot of stunting and those kind of things.
Dropped.
Exactly. but, I mean, you see it in every sport. And again, the importance is identifying it quickly, removing that athlete from the sport as quickly as you can, and then even from school in certain situations, depending on how severe the concussion is.
So when you're, say, let's go back to football, you're on the sideline, how do you determine, or how do you even suspect when a player has had a concussion?
By the way they're acting. I mean, you know, that's why it's so important to have someone on the sidelines watching not just the play of the football, but each of the players and when they're having an injury, so that you can determine whether or not, did that player hit their head when they hit the ground? Did they run into another player? Did they stay on the ground longer than they should have? You know, those kind of things before they got up. Did they run to the right huddle? Those kind of things are simple ways to do it. Football lends itself well to being able to identify that because players are coming on off the field so quickly. Mm-hmm. Other sports, a little bit harder.
Especially soccer.
It's
not stopping.
Where it's nonstop. And so, again, it's just watching the way the players are behaving. Are they reacting to the ball like they usually do? And those kind of things. And again, just sort of watching and seeing what happened during each play. If they're answering questions slower, if they're not running in the right direction, those kind of things are easy ways to pick it out. But it's a continuum in terms of the severity of the injuries.
So just out of curiosity, what questions do you ask? I just remember playing a long time ago and it'd say, so Bobby, what day is it?
Sure.
Where are you?
Yeah, those are still standard questions. Where are you? Who are you playing? What are you doing here? What happened right before you got hurt? Those are ones. Those are pretty standard ones. What day of the week it is, you know, that kind of thing. So,
and I would imagine in this day and age and the consciousness over concussion protocol, they're less quickly going to get a player back in a game than they used to.
Yeah, no, I mean, if we suspect a concussion, they're not going to go in for that game.
Gotcha.
That's it. Yeah, no, that's, I mean, it is that severe. You look for things like, pupillary reaction, whether or not they have, their eyes are darting around in their head correctly, you know, those kind of things, if they're able to follow a finger. But again, it's a brain injury. And I mean, And I know that all coaches, at least at Sandpoint High School, and the parents are more concerned about the player's safety than they are
absolutely
the outcome of the game. So,
it hasn't always been that way. It's like, get back in there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, even when I was playing, a little over 10 years ago, we'd have players, you know, not remember whole second halves of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd joke about it, you know, as players and coaches and that kind of thing. And not to say that coaches weren't as concerned about player safety. We just didn't realize the severity of the injuries that those players were having.
So then recovery time, you mentioned a player sitting out the rest of that soccer game or that football game or the cheerleading event, what have you. how does it go in the next week or several days when you determine if that person can get back to practice if they've recovered from the concussion?
Well, you know, Sandpoint High School and then the state of Idaho has been very proactive in the way that they're treating concussions. All the players at Sandpoint and I believe throughout the state of Idaho get impact tested prior to the season. So what that means is they take a test essentially online, a lot of questions that can give you a baseline for how those patients think, react, and those kind of things. And so it makes it easier for the rehabilitation specialists afterwards, or the people that or the physicians that are treating these student athletes, to be able to determine whether they're ready to go back. And so they have that pre-test done, and then we're testing using the impact testing. We also have at Bonner General Health a more comprehensive ways to determine whether or not the patients are responding through different testing we do in the rehabilitation setting. So our occupational therapists and physical therapists that are running people through a whole battery of tests that determine how people are doing. And that's not obviously just for student athletes. That's for mountain bikers and for people that hit their heads in a whole multitude of ways that we get to enjoy around here, skiing and such. So
for those of us who are, you know, sports fans and watch sports on TV, very familiar with college and NFL football concussion protocol, is high school concussion protocol any different? Is it more intense, less?
No, it's not any more or less intense. Protocols, again, you're just, you know, the goal of the rehabilitation specialist and sports medicine specialist is to get people back onto the field, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but when it comes to concussions, it can take as short as a week, depending on how quickly they respond to just sort of downtime and those kind of things, or as long as a few months. And obviously, and having one concussion is certainly different than multiple concussions. And so it definitely, if you have multiple concussions, it can take a lot longer to rehab. And so, but the protocols themselves, from the NFL all the way down to high school athletics, it doesn't change. We're just trying to have the players be safe when they're out there on the field.
That's great. Equipment, we have a couple more minutes here.
Sure.
Has it come great lengths in the last, say, 5-6 years?
There's certainly been a lot of research. Helmets have changed quite a bit. The way, they've messed with the way that they're padded, the amount of air that they're putting into things. At the end of the day, every sport carries inherent risks. There have been quite a few changes in the way that they're doing things like helmets. Equipment for other sports that don't have helmets, it hasn't changed much. It's been about the same. But they have changed the way that they're approaching coaching of the sport. We talked a little bit about teaching different ways to tackle, different ways to head the ball in soccer. And of course, they're still spending more time in 3D motion analysis labs and force impact and using things like that to determine what causes or can cause a concussion.
Absolutely. So as helmets, for example, keep getting better and the technology gets better, I would imagine that's a problem at a lot of the high school level. Football equipment is extremely expensive to begin with, and every year you come out with a better helmet. Yep. Is it a requirement or anything that the school goes to that better helmet? We don't have the money to do that.
No, not yet. Because there's no helmet that completely eliminates concussion risk, right? Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, it's more important to teach the kids, one, how to tackle safely, not to do things like spearing or leading with your head. And again, like I said, every sport carries inherent risk. And so there's no safe helmet, I guess, but there are helmets that are getting better about being able to absorb impact better and those kind of things. But no, at this point, because like I said, we can't eliminate things altogether, there's no requirement in terms of helmet style and that kind of thing.
So if an athlete gets hurt during a game, but it's not noticed by coaches or whatever, he or she just gets through the game and seems to be okay.
Sure.
The next day, the parents thinking, he's just not right.
Yeah.
What should they do?
So that's a great question. So, it just depends on how they're reacting. Initially, especially like high school football, say, you're done with the game at 10 o'clock. Your kids are going to be sleepy regardless. So, that's obviously a warning sign for kids and that kind of thing. Nauseousness, like I said before, responding slowly or incorrectly to questions, things that seem to, or if they said that they've lost time, like they don't remember what happened before the impact or they don't remember the second half of the game, or, those kind of things.
Hey, did we win?
Yeah, right, exactly. And so at the end of the day, I mean, it's just important to get in with a medical professional. BGIC or Bonner General Immediate Care is a good resource that way, especially on the weekends. Now, if it's serious, if your child is continuously sleeping that next day, if they're throwing up or nauseous over the course of the day, obviously the emergency department is also important too, because if they need advanced imaging, that's something they need to get done fairly quickly too.
Very good. So how does somebody learn more if they just want to find out more information on concussions and the things you've touched on, what to look for? Sure. In their athletes?
Yeah, I think the best resource right now and the most up-to-date is cdc.gov, the Heads Up program. That's been going on for quite a while, and they update it. There's resources on there for coaches, parents, rehabilitation professionals, as well as physicians. And like I said, it's a great resource that way.
All right. Sam Morton, thanks for joining us. It's been great information. We really appreciate you and Kristen and all the folks at BGH for doing this every month, sending somebody in here, and we'll have you back again someday.
Well, thanks for having me, Bob. I appreciate it.
All right. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we'll keep the doctor theme, but we'll switch over to animals as we have Dr. Polson, Dr. Jeff Polson, joining us. He's a veterinarian with North Idaho Animal Hospital. We'll get to that right after this.
The excitement of harvest is in the air at the Pondere Winery. And to celebrate, we're offering our 2018 Sangiovese as September's Wine of the Month. Come by and enjoy a beautiful afternoon or evening at our sidewalk seating while snacking on one of our many options from our food menu. And of course, don't forget the wine. We have many varieties available to satisfy your individual palate. We're located at 301 Cedar in downtown Sandpoint and open 12 to 8 Tuesday through Sunday. It's harvest time, so come celebrate with us at the Pondere Winery.
By now, you've probably heard people around town saying good things about North Idaho Collision Repair Center, but you may not know exactly where they're located. You can find them at 148 David Thompson Drive, which is about a mile and a half north of Bonner's Ferry. Just go to the top of the North Hill and take the next left after the landfill, right by the Homestead Coffee Shop. You'll find North Idaho Collision Repair Center directly across from Bear Auto. If you haven't stopped in before, you're in for a real treat as you learn more about their state-of-the-art collision center. North Idaho Collision Repair Center is equipped with a Blotherm booth and is the home of the most modern paint facility within 1,000 miles. They also have a frame straightening machine that will get the job done with laser accuracy, and their factory trained and ICAR certified technicians will restore your vehicle to pre-accident condition. You can find them at 148 David Thompson Drive. Make the trip just a mile and a half north of Bonner's Ferry today and discover a local gem, North Idaho Collision Repair Center.
Hi, this is Brian Ivey, service manager at Pierce Auto Center in beautiful Sagal, Idaho. Western Snowplow has put together great preseason pricing on snowplows for the month of September. Please call for pricing and reserve yours now. Also this month, we will be offering $99 plow services to get you ready for the up-and-coming season. As always, we are the home of the 1995 oil change. And remember, our certified technicians work on all makes and models, including Subaru and Toyota. Call today. Pierce Auto Center.
In a world gone crazy, a lot of people are looking for a nice, normal, relaxing way to spend some quality time while winning large amounts of cash, of course. The Kootenai Casino and Spa in Bonner's Ferry has the answer. No loud crowds, no long lines, no overpriced meals or phony smiles. We offer a casino gaming experience with a friendly, winning atmosphere. Weekday room rates start at $79 a night and weekends start at $99 a night. And when you're not gaming, check out our Springs restaurant with an amazing lineup of $11 dinner specials. Or visit our spa and schedule a facial and scalp special for just $79. Winning doesn't have to be loud, expensive, or crowded. Imagine screaming, "I just won big!" in a friendly, relaxed setting. It just has more impact. Book a Kootenai Casino and Spa Playcation by calling 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY or visit KootenaiRiverInn.com.
Missed a noon hour? Check out the audio at our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
All right, we are back. And, you know, the booth announcer just said you can go to NorthIdahoRadio.com. That's absolutely true. You can also go to that website anytime and go back into our archives and hear shows that have aired in the past. So, like, say you want to hear more about Smokesmith's barbecue that was on yesterday. You can go listen to that. So it's pretty cool. Right now, we are being joined on the phone with Dr. Jeff Polson. He is with VCA, which is Veterinary Centers of America, North Idaho Animal Hospital. Dr. Polson, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. It's great to have you on the phone here on our show today. You were a vet tech for 5 years, and you completed the vet school at Texas A&M University, and you've been a veterinarian now for 8 years. And how did you end up in Sandpoint?
So I grew up in Texas and have been living in Texas ever since we graduated from vet school, but I've always had family up here. Both my parents were born in Idaho, and so we visit up here a lot in the summers, and we like to hike and camp and do things outside with our kids, and so we're looking for a place that we could do more of that, and things lined up for us with having a job opening up here, and my wife has some family in Spokane, Washington also, so that gets us closer to them, and that's how we ended up here.
That's great. It's great to have you here, and you sure picked the great activities, you know, being outside and hiking and running and camping during this COVID period, because those are all things that you can do safely.
Yes, exactly.
So it says here in your bio that you are an avid runner. How avid are you? Do you do marathons and things like that, or you just go out for fun?
Mostly for fun. I've run a half marathon and some smaller 5Ks, but mostly just like to get out and run on the trails and like get my exercise in.
And what's your favorite run around here? Do you go out to the Pondere Bay Trail?
So I haven't gotten a chance to do too many yet. I've run up around Greta Segway trails a little bit, and I'm looking forward to doing a lot more exploring and figuring out where else I can run.
So North Idaho Animal Hospital, you're right across the highway from our studios here. What's new there? I mean, you're still fairly new there, I assume. What's going on at the animal hospital?
Yeah, I guess me is the biggest new thing there. It's been, you know, even with all the COVID craziness, like have been as busy as ever, and even more so a little bit. So we're still able to, you know, provide all the services that we normally do and see as many animals as we can. And so it's been a really easy fit for me to just jump right in and, you know, get going with everything that they have going on. And it's a really great team and group there.
Yeah, you're with an outstanding organization. And has the COVID thing changed the way you guys do business, as far as appointments and such? Or are people still getting together in the waiting room?
It's definitely changed. Where instead of like having people in the waiting room, there's someone that's there to greet people basically in the parking lot when they come in. And we are able to have, at first, we weren't allowed to have anyone in the building, but we are able to have people come into the exam rooms for their appointments. Mm-hmm. It's just limited to one person instead of multiple people, but that's kind of how we're handling things.
Well, that's good for the pet and the pet owner that, you know, they can stay with their dog or cat or what have you, just a lot more relaxed for both the owner and the pet, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a very big what's called a fear-free practice. So a big part of what we do is trying to make as low stress as we possibly can make it for the pets and for their owners. So that's something that we take a lot of effort and pride in, and that's a big part of what we try to do.
Very good. And Dr. Polson, you're also part of the United States Army Reserve, have been for a while as a Veterinary Corps officer. What exactly is a Veterinary Corps officer, and how do you serve?
So the Veterinary Corps is a group of veterinarians in the Army, and the Army is the only branch of the military that utilizes veterinarians, although the Air Force and other services have dog programs, but the Army used as veterinarians for two things. So we oversee all of the food inspection services. So any food that's getting brought into bases anywhere in the world is, there's a rigorous inspection process that's overseen by veterinarians. And then we also provide care for all of the military's working dogs, which that program has greatly expanded in the last 10 to 20 years. And so mm-hmm. that's a lot of what we do is taking care of the service dogs.
Wow, that's very interesting. It's good stuff. At North Idaho Animal Hospital, do you guys treat virtually any animal?
Pretty much, yes. I mean, small animals and exotics. We don't really do much in the way of livestock, but
okay.
We do see pretty much anything that would classify as a pet.
Very good. And you have a pet yourself, a dog named Bones. What kind of dog is that?
He's a, we call him a Whippador. He looks like a greyhound, Labrador cross that just came from the shelter. That's why we called him Bones, because he's so long and lanky
sure.
and likes to sprint.
Yeah, that's interesting. And your wife, April, lives here with you and four children.
Four kids, yep. Our oldest is 10, and then we have 8 and 6, and then our youngest is 16 months, so I have a little caboose on the end.
Yeah.
Well, Boys and two girls.
You'll love it here. I raised 5 kids here myself, and they all came out pretty good. Well, one of them, but the rest pretty doggone good. So is this the first school year for your kids here?
It will be, yes.
Yeah.
There's been so much, uncertainty and everything. What we're going to do this year is, my wife's going to homeschool our kids, and I think the schools here are doing they have just an impossible job of trying to balance, getting the kids in school and having all the services that the community needs for schools, but then having to try to balance safety. And so we're going to just sit this year out a little bit and then probably start back. Hopefully once things calm down a little bit next year. We've heard really great things about the schools there, so we're looking forward to being able to get back to that too.
Yeah, I think that's a very good approach, and once things get back to normal, I think your kids will really enjoy our school system here. Back to the animal hospital, technology's changed all of our lives in recent years, in the last 20 years exactly, but how has it changed your profession?
A big part of it is changing to electronic medical record systems and digital x-rays, and it's opened up a lot of different ways for us to be able to communicate with pet owners. So we can email and text message. People can, if there's something that's wrong as far as after a surgery, they can take a picture of the incision and send it to us. So we're able to provide some, consultations in that way. We're actually just about to change over to a new medical record system here in the next couple of months. And so we're all, working to learn that. But it gives us the ability to do a lot more things that previously we couldn't.
Yeah, that's a very good point about being able to take a picture if you just had a question about, like you said, after a surgery or if there's something wrong with your dog or cat. And I could save you from a visit, especially during this whole COVID time. It's just safer. So that's right. Good stuff. So North Idaho Animal Hospital, do you guys have if there's anybody listening to this today who's thinking about changing vets, or maybe they're new to town and haven't gone to a vet yet, do you have a website to go to? Are you on Facebook? Or?
We do have a website. So it's all of our information and things about the doctors and our hours and our website. So people can just Google, VCA North Idaho Animal Hospital, North Idaho Animal Hospital. VCA is a national chain that owns veterinary hospitals. So they're all under kind of that banner. But our website has our, a lot of information about our clinic, about the doctors and staff that work there. So it's a great resource for people that have any questions. So.
And again, that's VCA, which stands for Veterinary Centers of America, North Idaho Animal Hospital. Dr. Jeff Polson, welcome to the North Idaho community, and thanks for joining us today. We'll do it again sometime.
Thanks very much. It's great to be here, and everyone's been super welcoming, and we're very excited to become part of the community here.
Very good. Thank you, and enjoy the Labor Day weekend.
Will do. You too.
All right. Take care. We are going to take our final break here in North Idaho Thursday. When we come back, we'll be talking to Ruth and Mary Ann. They are with the Suzuki Strings Academy. They haven't been on for, I don't know, 6 or 8 months. I think it's been a while. Talk about what's going on with them, and I think they have some events coming up, so stick around.
Weird summer, am I right? Hey, Sandpointians, are you missing the festival, Beer Fest, Fall Fest, the Longbridge Swim Fest? Well, guess what? Sandpoint misses you too. This is why the Greater Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce is hosting the COVID Sucks Summer 2020 event. Yes, it is a fundraiser for the Greater Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce, but also a way for you to get out of the house and support our local shops and restaurants. Shop, eat, drink, and play from September 4th to the 11th and receive stamps from participating chamber member businesses. The more stamps you get, the better the rewards. Get anywhere from 10 to 20 stamps to receive the COVID Sucks logo glass and enter to win the raffle sponsored by Selkirk Association of Realtors for some awesome prizes donated by the very businesses you're supporting. Check out the Sandpoint Chamber Facebook page for all the details and to register. Thank you to our sponsors, Hendrix Architecture, The Reader, Berg McLaughlin & Nelson, Ting, Clearwater Gear, and Keoki Media. Plus all of our participating businesses listed on sandpointchamber.org.
There are a number of summer myths that get revisited every year.
Oh, like you have to wait 30 minutes after eating to go swimming?
Or you can catch a cold from being in air conditioning all day.
Oh, or that women actually like dad bods.
Wait, you don't like dad bods?
The one thing that's not a summer myth is the danger of driving after drinking. So as you celebrate the end of summer, if you see someone who's had too many, give them a ride home. Or if you've been drinking, take rideshare home. This message brought to you by the Idaho Office of Highway Safety.
The 4th Annual Ponderay Neighbor Day is Saturday, September 19th, behind the Hoot Owl on Highway 200. They're currently looking for food and retail vendors. There's no entry fee, and a $50 deposit will hold your spot. This family-friendly event will feature music by the Maya Kohal Band, activities, games, and more. For information, call Kaylee at the City of Ponderay at 208-265-5468. Make your plans now to be a vendor at Neighbor Day on September 19th. Call the City of Ponderay or email klmiller@ponderay.org.
With fall just around the corner, now might be a great time to shop for new home furnishings. Mike here for Sandpoint Furniture Carpet One. By adding a new piece or an entire collection, you can add the wow factor to your home, from upscale country to creative contemporary pieces. See the artisan-inspired industrial designs in bedroom, dining room, and occasional. See the new auto-rise desks ready to function from a standing or seated position. As the evenings begin to cool, see our selection of electric fireplaces by Classic Flame, providing heat and ambiance in the room, starting at just $249. Or get a good night's sleep on this plush comfort queen mattress set from Englander, only $599. With over 30 comfort levels to choose from, Sandpoint Furniture has your mattress. See us at sandpointfurniture.com.
KSPT, KBFI. North Idaho's radio.
All right, we are back. Our final segment today, our final segment for this week. And I'm telling you what, in about 10, 12 minutes, I'm declaring it Labor Day weekend. That's for me anyway. This is our last segment for this week, North Idaho Thursday. I'm your host, Bob Witte, and we welcome back in Ruth and Mary Ann from the Suzuki Strings Academy. We were just talking during the break. You guys were here last November. A long time ago.
Yes. Yeah. We're excited to be back.
Yeah, it's great.
Thanks for having us.
Great to have you here, and it's great to be once again talking about music and things like that. You know, we just heard that commercial there. Maya Kohal's playing at Ponderay Neighbor Day, so look forward to more and more of that type of thing going on. Before we get into any events or whatever you have coming up, explain to us, what anybody who doesn't know, what is the Suzuki Strings Academy?
So the Suzuki Strings Academy is a music school that we teach string music, violin, chamber. We have several classes. But we are founded on the Suzuki philosophy that every child can. Every child can learn. And that is the expectation. And, you know, I think we look at music as a different thing than learning when we're a parent. We want my child to learn music, but then we go to lessons and it's like, oh, this is hard or whatever. But the Suzuki philosophy is founded on every child can. It's that expectation that, you know, how many times did you say mama before your child said mama? You didn't give up when they couldn't say that. You just kept working. Mm-hmm. And that's what Suzuki is, where the Suzuki String Academy is founded on that philosophy.
So you just keep trying.
And you find different ways to help them fulfill that expectation.
Yeah. I had 5 kids. All of them played music. But so many of them, depending on what age they were when they started, was, I just wanted to bring my guitar and learn a song. I know there's lots of chords you need to learn first. Do you find that in today's kids, are they still like that? They just want to sit down at the piano and play something?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what they want to do, is they want to play. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we set them up. And one of the big things that is different in our studio versus traditional music is it is very parent involved. Oh. We're not a music daycare. The parents are very involved. And in fact, they actually learn along with their child. And I remember when we very first started that one of our parents, their dad said, whatever happened to just dropping your kids off at music lessons?
That's what it was too. It was like, oh good, I get to throw Julia in there for an hour and a half.
But what this is it's a development of relationships between you and your child. And music is just the vehicle that we use to do that. Mm-hmm.
So why is it called Suzuki Strings Academy? What does the name mean?
Well, we have the name Suzuki in the title because that is our philosophy and method and approach that we're using. And then it is string focused. So we're all about providing string opportunities for string players.
So the Suzuki is a particular method of how to learn to play string music.
Yes. And its approach, parent involvement, giving the tools to the parents to help their child be successful with practice at home, and then creating that nurturing environment for that development and growth.
Is this a newer program? Has it been around a while? Or?
Oh, it's been around for a long time. It was started by Suzuki, Shinichi Suzuki in Japan, and he called it talent education. Hmm. And he started with the idea that every child can speak their mother tongue fluently by the time they're 5. And so he said, how is that? And what if we took that idea and applied it to other areas of learning? And what if we applied it to music? So starting at birth, before birth, listening. Because a child listens to their mother tongue from the time they're born. Mm-hmm. And then they are soaking that all in. And then they start giving back out with small things like mama. And so if the child
don't come out and start singing a Bruce Springsteen song. Or
something. Yeah. And the parents are very patient and encouraging. And so it's that same idea that the children are surrounded with music. And then and we do a lot of listening based on that. And then they pick it up and then they start giving it out gradually, and we show the parents how to work with them at home, and then we work with the parent and the child in the studio, and it makes it a beautiful, not not without challenge, but a beautiful experience.
I was going to say, and there has to be the occasional child is like, he's just not getting it. I mean, or maybe he's tone deaf. Or,
well, if they're listen, if they've been listening, and we hear that a lot. Oh my, I'm, as the parent, I'm tone deaf, or my child's tone deaf. Well, it's how their ear has been developed.
Okay.
And so through the listening, we retrain the ear to hear the correct pitches, and then pretty soon. Children are so adaptable and they learn so quickly compared to like if we're thinking as how we learn as adults, right?
Yeah, but I've never heard that before, that a tone deaf person can be taught to hear music.
And
that's a new one on me.
Mm-hmm. It's the ear, training of the ear, ear training.
And the thing is it's just like going back to how many times did you say mama or daddy or whatever to your child? You never gave up. You didn't give up.
Mm-hmm.
No child is a failure. So we just keep going until. And there are, and the other thing that actually, that was a good point that you brought up about, obviously there's going to be a child that, no, they're just not getting it. But one of the things that's so great about the music and you know, our mission is that we use music to help develop traits and abilities in as a good human, because that's actually what the big picture is.
Yes.
Is developing beautiful people and, you know, coming back to a challenge, coming back to music lessons when they're not getting it and just approaching it again and coming back when it's hard, it teaches the children, I actually can do hard things.
Yeah.
And I can problem solve.
And to that end, what do you guys have going on?
Well, we have several classes this summer that are we're super excited about. Of course, we offer private lessons. Along with the private lessons, every child is also in a group class because that element of learning with other children is very powerful. So
fun.
And fun, yes. Yeah, so it makes it, helps them not feel like they're alone in it. Or isolated. So, and then we have our chamber music groups. We also have a contemporary youth voice ensemble and a music and movement class for 0 to 5. We have a parent workshop coming up called Ready, Set, Suzuki. And that's a great way, if anyone's interested in starting violin lessons, in our studio. That's a great introduction. And it is for parents, a workshop for parents where we equip them with the tools to help their child. And they actually will teach them how to hold a violin bow, how to place a violin. We explain more in depth of the Suzuki philosophy. So that's going to be September 10, 11th, 12th. Thursday and Friday evening, Saturday morning, 10 to 11:30. Do you want to add anything
to like that, Marian? If people hearing this today, but they didn't quite grasp all that and want to learn more, how do they do that?
Oh, they can come to our website.
That's kind of what I was getting at. Yeah.
Yep. And we're on Instagram and Facebook, and they can also give us a call at
208-304-9085. And we also keep updates, all the things that we've been doing on Instagram and Facebook at SuzukiStringAcademy.com. We recently performed at the fair. We like to give our students lots of opportunities to share their music, so we don't just have two recitals every year. We will do extra performances. We'll perform at the Christmas tree lighting this year, and the Christmas fair we've played at. We do this Christmas night, and so we like to give our students many opportunities.
And you guys are located in Sandpoint?
Yes, on 102 South Euclid Avenue.
102 South Euclid Avenue, the Suzuki Strings Academy. You can find them on Instagram, Facebook, or at their website, the phone number 208-304-9085. 208-304-9085. 85, and do you accept students from Bonnish Ferry?
Yes.
Okay. Important to know. Good to know. Ruth, Marianne, thanks for joining us today. Let's not wait another nearly a year to have you back on the show.
Thank you, Bob.
We'll do it again sometime soon.
Thank you so much.
All right. And that's going to be it for North Idaho Thursday for today. In fact, that's it for me this week. Have a great Labor Day weekend, everybody. Till next week, I'm Bob Whitty, and we'll see you later.
K246CU, 1450 KBFI, Bonners Ferry, 1400 KSPT Sandpoint, a Blue Sky Broadcasting radio station.
I'm Michelle Franzen. With Election Day 2 months out, social media platform Facebook says it will ban new political ads the week